Hey guys, here we are, just a bunch of guys. No, just two of us here, Dan Snell and Bob Sherwood. We're going to talk about politics for about 25 minutes. Dan has a point of view and I have a point of view. You're going to hear us probably have some conflicting points of view. Dan, you want to introduce yourself?
Possibly. Bob, great to be with you. 12 days till Election Day, till November the 5th. It's a Thursday. You and I are talking, predicting, pontificating. Yeah, my background, Bob and I have been on broadcasting and the radio or podcast for, gosh, since 2007.
All right, let's get at it. Dan, tell me about Kamala Harris. What's she going to do if she's elected?
Well, that's a broad question. And
oh, is that a play on words? A little bit entendre? A broad question?
No God sexual almighty. Identity tied wow. into that. That there's just a number of things. I believe that if Kamala Harris is elected, she will govern to the center even more than Biden ever thought about. And she will try to reflect what a Bill Clinton presidency was about, because she has the pressure of being the first female
president. So she'll
president.
Call interns in and have sex with them and well, that like Bill Clinton?
I don't think so. I do believe she's happily married, and so I don't think that will happen. But I do believe she will make an attempt. Of course, everything matters on who's going to control the Congress and the Senate. If the Democrats retain the Senate, then she'll have a little more power. If the Republicans retain the Congress, then getting things through naturally is going to be difficult. But I think she's going to try to, if she stays to her word. I believe she will, because of the pressure of her legacy, wanting to be the first female president, that she will try to create as much cooperation and bipartisanship as possible.
Now, Dan, I'm not challenging you, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But I would like to know, what do you think would be the one thing she might get done next year, 2025, if she's elected, that would be helpful to America?
What do I think, in my opinion, what would be the best thing she could do, or what do I think she will try to do?
No, what do I think she will do?
What I think she will try to do is create a business atmosphere. This whole concept she started out with, she's kind of died down and talking about it. She should talk about it more as an opportunity economy. I think she will try to get a bipartisan effort to create pro-business stimulate an economic. You and I first met because you created an economic stimulus package for a campaign I was running. But I think she will try to this opportunity income she talked about. That will be the one thing. I know.
Now, what can you, do you have any details of that? How would that work? In other words, let's say next year I want to start a small business. How, with whatever she's doing, help me get my business going? I'm not arguing with you. I just want to know, what do you think she will actually do to help me?
Yeah. Well, I think, as you and I know, when it's government, everything takes way too long. Mm-hmm. There's no warp speed except for what President Trump did way back when. But they will try to put in place processes that allow businesses, startups. You know, her promise is a $50,000 tax deduction in a year. But she will probably put in through the SBA or maybe she creates through the Department of Commerce some form of a process. But it's going to take a long time and people will be waiting. And there's always politics behind it. Sometimes certain groups try to get in and be used as the facilitators. So it would probably be no real action until the third quarter of 2025.
Now, Dan, before, I know you're going to ask him some questions about Trump. Now, I'm thinking about Kamala. Now, we have the SBA. Now, the SBA, the Small Business Administration, their mission in life is to help small business. And they define small business as being any company under 500 employees, which is a pretty good-sized company.
Yeah.
My question to you is that since we already have the SBA and we're already spending, I don't know, $50 billion, what else is she going to do that's going to help small business that the SBA isn't already chartered to do?
I don't know if I can answer that because you're more familiar with the SBA yep. than I am. However, I think the SBA, like many federal yep. agencies, is kind of bloated. They kind of have people that are in positions that mm-hmm. are just wasting American money. That's one thing that former President Trump would try to do, is to review all these agencies. But I think it depends on who she puts in charge of the you've got to have a real strong department of cabinet.
See, I'm in favor of what she's talking about on the business side, and I would think an easier, let's say, policy would simply to be saying, I'm going to triple the amount of money the SBA currently gets and gives to small business, and I'm going to change the focus away from building buildings, which is very popular. The SBA has been very good at helping businesses build a building. Like if you're a doctor and you want to build a clinic, they'll loan you $3 million, $4 million, $5 million at a low interest rate. If you're a lawyer, you want to build a law office, no problem. If you're just a person who wants to build a building and rent it out, they'll do that. And they have a lot of strings to it. So all I'm saying is that I think she fundamentally has a good idea, but if she just the SBA already has a distribution method for giving money out around the country. Every city almost has an SBA office. They're all staffed. And the beauty of the SBA is that if they loan you $1 million, the money actually comes from a bank, and the SBA guarantees it to the bank. So they get a lot of leverage. The bank gets the business, and the bank maybe gets one or two points higher than normal, but the SBA guarantees it to the bank. So the bank's happy.
Yeah.
So with a small amount of money, the SBA can leverage their money because they don't actually have the cash. They're just saying to the bank, I will guarantee the loan. They don't put the cash up. The bank puts the cash up. Of course, where do they get the money from? They borrow it from the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve. So what I'm saying is that I think a bigger and more important policy would be to redirect, to increase the amount of money, by three or fourfold, and then redirect the money away from just buildings into startup costs, which are usually soft costs, legal expenses, accounting expenses, things like that, which is why the SBA likes buildings, because it's an asset. I give you $5 million, you build a $5 million building. Worst case, in a few years, it's worth $6 or $7 million. So as an asset, I never lose money. If they redirect the money to the soft costs of small business, legal, marketing, they don't get that money back. So I think that's a lot harder decision, but it's important.
Yeah, if she was smart, and this is to former President Trump's credit, Elon Musk, people get excited about Elon Musk. Why? Because he's a go-getter, he's a decision maker, he does things different, he shakes up things.
He pretty well owns the world.
Yeah, and now if I were her, you got to have a way to shake up that whole process. And Mark Cuban, whether people like Mark Cuban or not, that Shark Tank mentality, the way you analyze it, no, that's not good, that's not going to have good return. How are we going to make this? Maybe you make Mark Cuban, Secretary of Commerce or something, and he revamps the SBA. He revamps how the business world looks. Says we need something that's bolder and a breakthrough.
I think it makes sense, and I don't see why. If she called Elon Musk, she wouldn't be calling him to support her.
Right.
She would just say, look, you want to make America great again. That's why you back Trump, right?
Exactly.
And he says, absolutely. Okay, if I am elected, I'm not asking you to support me now. If I am elected, I want to know if you'd help me do the same thing.
Bingo.
I want to make America great again.
The bingo. That's why
I won't even announce it until I'm elected. So it'll be total secret. But I want to bring you in because, I hate Trump, but I really love you, Elon Musk. And you got great ideas. I know it. You know it. And you don't want to just restrict your brilliance to the Republican Party, right? You want to make it available across America.
That's what I've always said.
If she did that, she would, and then she could leak it to the press that he agreed to help her. It would win the election for her.
Yeah, it really would. And that's what I always say. I do some of these radio interviews on politics, and I always say, why don't people focus on the solutions, be solutioneers?
Yeah.
And what can we do to make the place we call home better? And how do we make America better, Kansas, California, wherever you're at? And just here sitting at this desk right here, I'll share with your podcast listeners that exact same that I can back up what Bob is saying is because I ran a campaign for governor in 2006. That's when I first met Bob. People said, hey, he's great at venture capitalist, business stimulation. He's got all this background in Silicon Valley, creation of businesses. He then helped me create an economic stimulus package that we presented out there for the Republican candidate that I was supporting.
We lost.
Yeah, we lost. But then what happened? The Democratic governor who won reached out and said, hey, Bob Sherwood, would you help? And you did.
Getting back to Kamala Harris, what I'm saying is that the reason Elon Musk doesn't support her now, because none of her policies are specific. He's a binary guy. What are you actually going to do? He knows the tax thing is worthless. He knows unrealized capital gains doesn't make any sense. So he can't support those things. She always talks about we're going to make this, we're going to do that, we're going to help small business. But she doesn't have specific policies. Musk is a guy that likes, what are we going to do? Okay, fly the guy to the moon. No problem. I now know what we're going to do, right? He's a mission-centered guy. And he also understands that every good mission has to have a measurable thing. Most of her policies she put out are non-measurable. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying there's things she could do that would be very powerful. The $50,000 tax credit doesn't help a small business because tax credits only help businesses that have
income.
Net income.
Yeah.
Small businesses, and particularly LLCs, are designed not to make money for several years.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that the idea, at a very high level, everybody wants to make America great again. A guy like Musk wants to know, what are you going to do? So when Trump says something like, I'm going to put 25% tariffs on all the EV vehicles come from Taiwan, all the mega chips come from Taiwan. Now, you may not like that idea, but it's a specific thing, right? He may get criticized for it, but that's specific as opposed to a policy that says, I'm going to make Taiwan a partner or with something else. That policy is not measurable. Every objective always has to have two criteria. The one criteria, it must be measurable, and it must have a time dependent to it. Otherwise, it's not an objective. It's just a guy says, what's your objective for next month to increase our sales? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. There's nothing there, right? It does have the time period of the month, but doesn't say what the increased sales are. So you always have to have two things in an objective. And politicians know, never, never, never talk about a real objective because you'd have to put down it's what the measurement is and the time period. It's like, we're going to help people that can't get jobs find jobs. You can't measure it.
Yeah, you know, and I'm gonna push back a little bit because of how I feel about that.
Yeah,
the whole President Trump's.
And what are you gonna push back on?
I'm gonna push back on that as a lead. Experience matters and words matter. And number one, I believe the reason that Elon Musk loves Trump is they're both giant egos. They attract each other, and they're both dynamic and charismatic guys, and so they like each other. I will bet, however, which we have a history and a track record, that at some point Donald Trump may turn on Elon Musk.
I don't know, but I don't.
But this is important. Donald Trump says a lot of things that people get excited about. No tax on tips, you know, tariffs. He says a lot of things that people go, wow, no Social Security. I'm on Social Security. No taxes on Social Security. Already, like 32 states have no tax on Social Security.
I agree.
And so he says these things to get people flack. However, he never thinks about how the process of getting through Congress. A lot of the things he's been talking about will never get through Congress.
Yeah, but Dan, that's the same. I just said that. I just said exactly what you just said. That's the political reality of policies in general. But I don't think Musk likes Trump because they have big egos. Of course they have egos. You cannot do what either of them done without egos. But the issue to me is that they both think about the way you accomplish things because they both accomplish things, right? Just like that's me. That's why I think about Trump because if you go to New York City and try to build a building, oh my gosh, where do you start?
Yeah, the planning
commission, actually
City
done
Hall,
it. You know, like him, you can. That is incredible to me. Just getting the certificates, the licenses. Now, let's jump back. Now, I'm going to give you a chance now. We said this would be 30 minutes. We're at about 14 minutes now. So, I was being very general about Kamala. I wasn't criticizing. I was just saying, here's some good ideas that she should take. Now, what do you ask me some things about Trump. Let me take the Trump position here.
Okay. So I think the number one thing that, as a former elected official, a guy, I was Ronald Reagan's this will age me and date me, Ronald Reagan's campaign chairman. I was a fan of JFK and Ronald Reagan. I write about them in my book.
Can you just ask the
their
question?
Their vision. The question is,
What is the question?
What do you think about the behavior. Because to me, behavior
I
matters.
I don't give a crap.
It isn't
about
personality.
Behavior.
It's about behavior and the outcomes of those behavior, about the division and the us versus them mentality.
Oh, you mean that both politicians say the same thing? The Democrats say the Republicans are all, what Hillary Clinton calls the deplorables. So I don't care what either politician says. I do not care about their behavior. It means nothing to me. What I really want to know, whether Trump or Kamala, anybody, is that if China takes over Republic of Taiwan, what will you do specifically? Not you'll retaliate in kind or this. What will you do specifically, right? What will you do specifically tomorrow to basically increase the supply of food? So that's what I'm looking for in a politician. That's what I see in Trump. Now, the difficulty in getting anything in Congress, I agree. Both of them have that problem. If Kamala wants to give $50,000 tax credits to black people, for example, that'll have a problem. Because that's the only situation where the government has a law that says you cannot allocate anything on a racial basis.
Right.
That's the law. So in other words, they've got to change that law. Now, let me finish. You asked me a question. So yeah, when a Trump comes down to what he's saying, I think he understands the difficulty. He also understands that he's talking to people. People want to hear things, right? And so he says, yeah, he says things that are positive. So does Kamala say things that are positive. What's the difference? I don't discount any of them for those kind of things. And I don't discount them for their behavior. I think that Kamala's behavior of laughing every time she gets a serious question, that's a behavioral problem, right? I like to know when she gets a question about the nuclear disarmament of Iran, she doesn't go, oh, I hope she would just like address the question. Now, so on the behavior side, I don't have a comment on behavior. I just think it's irrelevant.
Well, here's why I think it's relevant. And this is real important because you have a grandson. You just went to a birthday party, 7 years old. I won't say his name.
Yeah. By the way, now you're being argumentative.
No.
Instead of asking me questions about
okay.
Trump.
Do you think it's okay if I went before your grandson? Because your grandson watches TV. Now, let me finish. America, across America, there are little eyes. There are kindergarten students, fifth graders, high school sophomores, college kids, and they see the most important man in the world, the most powerful position in the world, terms like the F-bomb and bullshit.
But let's go back.
And I just think, here's
HBO,
what happens.
So watch TV.
No, wait a minute. Watch then that child, your grandson, go to school and tell his teacher, that's a bunch of BS. It says the word, right. Says you're a loser. I don't think that's okay because what we're creating
Dan,
in society
Dan, listen,
is bigger.
Listen,
a
answer
division
the question.
That's okay
There's
to say whatever you
somewhere.
Want.
There's a questioner somewhere, I guess,
the
right?
The question is, do
no,
you?
Of course I don't agree with that. That's obvious.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the politician. You're asking me a moral question. In other words, do I agree it's a, you know, well, by the way, the kids you just mentioned,
yeah.
They're not watching. They're not watching Paw Patrol and all the other crap on TV. But, I'll say this. Morals have changed in general. You can't go to a G-rated movie now and not say women's tits. So what I'm driving at is that I think to look to our politicians to even generate a moral code is probably incorrect, right? It'd be nice if we had it, but I'm more interested in this. These little kids you're talking about, that they're still alive in 20 years and don't have to speak Chinese or they don't have enough food because a nuclear bomb just bombed the whole damn city.
Well,
people think that's not...
Certainly that's important. Here's the thing. I think we're this election...
Can you not be argumentative and ask me questions about Trump?
Well, I'm not trying to be argumentative. Do you think it's okay for him to express that it's either you agree with me or you are the enemy?
Oh, you mean like Hillary Clinton says, if you're not a Democrat, you're deplorable?
No, you're being argumentative.
No, I'm not being argumentative is when I disagree with something you've said and I say that. I'm using an allegory, right? What I'm saying is that in my mind, both politicians have to have some divisiveness about them. Oh, you're a Democrat, you're good if you're a Democrat. If you're a Republican, you're bad if you're a Democrat. So, no, they both are like that.
And it shouldn't be that way, though.
Well,
This election, we have two bad choices.
Okay. Now, but get back to the issue of Trump and Kamala, right? Not of the choice. Of the choices, right? For example, of the choices. Now, you're asking about Trump now, right? I see Trump as a person, irrespective of his behavior, to basically protect me in case of a nuclear attack. He would not let that happen in the United States, in my opinion, right? He'd probably attack first. But my point is, he would protect me, right? I believe that Trump will understand supply and demand, that you do not get prices down in food by paying farmers to grow food. Now, my Democrat friends don't even believe that happens. We pay farmers every year billions of dollars not to grow food. Then we complain about rising food prices.
And to that specific farmer, because right. I got a background in agriculture right. in Nebraska, you know, Trump did contribute and continue that process of...
Is there a question, by the way, you're
going to
ask?
The question is that he did continue. My question, here's my question going back to what you started with, is... you have Secretary of the Defense, you have a number of people, like I can come think of from those Vice President to General Milley to just yesterday in the news, General John Kelly, who Trump said was the best general ever, will be historically great.
What's the question?
The question
Dan?
Is, do you not think that those men have wisdom when they suggest that Donald Trump may not be the right person to have his finger on the button?
Oh, I think they have an opinion. A lot of opinions. There's 85 million opinions that are going to vote Democratic in about 2 weeks. You have an opinion. I have an opinion. They have an opinion. They're just people. Just because they're general doesn't mean their opinion is different or better than mine. I don't know what their experience is. If they've been killing people for 25 years, they probably have a different opinion. The military in general, we know from Eisenhower. Eisenhower was always worried about the military-industrial complex. And we have that today. The military wants to go to war with Ukraine, wants to go with North Korea. And going back to the generals, there's a list out now. I saw it on LinkedIn where it was like 280 generals have signed a document that says Trump is a reckless guy. I don't care. How many generals are there? That statistic could mean nothing if there's 25,000 generals. It couldn't mean anything if they were all Democrats. It couldn't mean without knowing the actual source of the material. That's why I don't like to read the media, because I would like to read the source. When somebody talks about a tax plan, I like to go read the source of the document, not the actual interpretation of a document. So that's when I think about Trump, I think about who am I going to feel more comfortable with that I'm not going to be in another war. I believe that we're headed right toward a war. Now, one more point, we have another 7 or 8 minutes here. I love the media in the last couple days. What have they been talking about? Oh, North Korea sent 3,000 people to help Russia. How stupid is that? No, it's a stupid concept. The North Koreans didn't send 3,000 people to help Russia. Russia asked for 3,000 North Koreans to come over so they could train them to go back to North Korea and buy Russian weapons. We've done it for years right here in Leavenworth, Kansas. We have the training ground where we've trained people from 70 different countries around the world. I gave a talk to them down there. It's the Command General Staff College.
Right.
The Taiwanese, Iran, Hungary, we've trained all those people. Why? Because when they go back to their country, what do they know? How to use our weapons. That's who they buy from. So Russia says, I'm going to train 3,000 North Koreans. So the media is all concerned about, are these people going to help Russia? And Russia must be weak. That's just crap. They missed the whole point.
Well, the media always rushes to make the headlines, to get the clicks, to get the attention. We don't know the outcome of where. Are they going to send any of those to Ukraine and help fight because Russia's
matter.
Weak? Or are they going to send them
here's,
back?
Here's the point. Here's my point is that they missed the whole point. Right? In order to racially show that Russia is like weak, they're saying Russia's asked North Korea to send 3,000 people to help us. Well, first place, I'll bet there isn't 30 people in the entire Russian army that speaks North Korean. Probably not many North Koreans speak Russian.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are they doing over there? Right now, they're learning to speak each other. But more than that, Russia is training them to use Russian tanks, Russian aircraft, Russian rifles, Russian bullets, Russian techniques, Russian strategy, Russian computers. So they'll buy that. We should be, now our people would say, well, let's not go train the North Koreans. Well, if you don't train them, They won't buy from you. We train people in, well, we've trained the Iran, we trained Beirut, we trained Saudi Arabia, we trained Japan, we trained Taiwan. We tried to train India to have them buy aircraft from us. My point is still the same, is that the media missed the whole point. The real issue that's going on here is a massive economic change in what's going on, because Russia will now be importing billions of dollars of weapons to North Korea.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you a question. Cut off.
Yeah.
If Trump wins, do you think he'll finish 4 years?
Absolutely, right. Yeah. Now, unless he gets killed. Yeah, but I mean, will he resign? No.
See, I think he will not finish, because he will resign because of the powers that be associated with Vance and want to give Vance 18 months or a year in the presidency.
That's theory without evidence. But is there any evidence for what you're saying? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, let me give you evidence from my position, is that this guy, unless he dies or gets killed, he just never gives up. Now, the problem that he's going to have, and if he's elected, and Democrats are right to jump all over this, and I believe they will, he has to figure out another way to get all this stuff he owns back into a trust. And he's got this media thing that's now worth $8 billion, and he owns 56% of it.
And the crypto thing.
He's got invests in crypto. So that's going to be his biggest problem. Now, will he be able to solve that? Yes. Will it be acceptable to Democrats? No. Will it create a whole new set of arguments about can Congress people buy stocks on the equity markets, which I'm against, by the way.
Right. It should be.
I don't believe in going to a trust. I believe that once you become a senator, whatever it is right now, all your stocks go into trust, but you can't buy any more. You cannot trade equities until you get back out. That's it. Because they have inside information. It's impossible to not have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They see stuff we never see. And, you know, like, and so, yeah, I'm not saying, what's her name in California? Her husband buys all the stuff.
Pelosi.
And I'm saying, okay, I get it. What is she going to do? Not talk about with her husband what she does?
Yeah.
And she's not probably thinking she's revealing things, but she's saying, yeah, I think we're going to make it easier for Apple. Okay. That's a comment. He then calls his broker the next day and buys 1 million options on Apple stock. So is he trading on inside information? Probably won't hold up in court, right? But is he? Yes. So but is it wrong? Maybe. But the real point is this. The only way to eliminate it is keep him from trading.
Yeah. There's so many things that need to be fixed in a broken
Washington. Just little things like that.
Term limits would be another one. Exactly what you're talking about there, investments. So here's what we got to think about. November 5th to January the 21st, 76 days. The outcome of the election day. Will we know on election night? I happen to think it's going to be a shocker in that there are going to be announcements that whether it's, I don't know which side, but one or the other is going to shock in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. And Michigan.
So you don't want to make a commitment. You're just saying there'll be somebody who will win by a landslide.
I believe that it's going to be shocking and overwhelming, and that.
No, but who do you think will win by a landslide?
I honestly couldn't tell you either. Why? Because there's 12 days left.
Yeah.
And in 12 days, there could be 25 major October surprises. You know, that come out. There's
how many
always
days left?
12 days.
12 days.
12 days left, we'll have 25 things. You know, just today, some woman comes out and says that Trump was an Epstein, were associated with it. She shows the postcard. That, to me, that's not a big deal, but stuff like that. Stuff's going to come out on Harris. Stuff's going to come out on Trump. But anything could happen. There could happen, like he's talked about Taiwan. There could be something China could do with Taiwan. Something could happen in the Middle East with Iran. So, a health issue. You know, there's a lot of focus on Trump's health.
I think that's very thoughtful.
Anything could happen.
If you were right now with the election, was it 12 days away? Mm-hmm. We've got, by the way, hey guys, if you're all listening, we got about another
couple minutes
left.
It's a race to the end.
We said 30 minutes, so maybe a minute or two left. But I was thinking about if you were Xi, the Chinese premier, an election 11 days away, would you go after Taiwan right now? Knowing that nobody's going to do anything, probably. Would you go after Taiwan right now?
I don't have any idea how he thinks. I don't know.
Well, that's a safe answer. I don't know how he thinks either, but I would say from a strategic standpoint, if I was going after Taiwan, I'd do it now. Because neither one of them are going to stop. Biden's not going to do anything, right? So he's going to get Taiwan, and then we'll have to live with it after that.
Yeah. On one hand, because Trump professes that he's tougher on Taiwan and Russia and the enemies, it may be where they'll think, well, we don't want Trump because he'd be tougher than the Democratic leadership. So they wouldn't want to do it because of that. On one hand, I don't think Biden would try too much diplomacy. And we live in a world now today where there's not leadership like you and I had growing up with strong presidents who've had a military background. In both Trump and Biden, we don't have that, or Harris.
Okay, hey guys, we're going to end this today. I hope you understand that when we talk over each other, that's important because that's kind of like our passion coming out on things we believe. So it's not we're not trying. This isn't a trial where you can't talk over each other. There is a little bit of argument. There has to be some disagreement. And we're going to bring some other people on here later. But we agree on a lot of things and disagree on a lot of things. So we're going to end up. But to end, I'm going to turn it over to my partner, Dan Snell, who'll have he'll have 30 seconds, if he wants to take it, to make a final point. I'll say, ready, and then Dan will either start or not. Start.
Yeah, my point is that Americans around their kitchen table or paying attention to what's happened to really not just vote on emotion, but to really study both the issues and think about what do I want America look like in 10 years, not just 4 years, but in 10 years, and which leader will make the place we call home more united. To me, there are different things that are important. To me, the United States being more unified and trying to find cooperation to get us in the right direction rather than fighting.
That's why you're on the radio. Now, my question to you is, who's going to win the election?
I honestly don't know, but I don't think it's going to be.
Well,
I think it's going to be shockingly.
We're asking what your opinion is.
I think it's going to be shockingly. Like, for instance.
Look, we only have 30 seconds. Who do you think is going to win? Of course you don't know. I don't know. Who do you think?
Based on the numbers, and you and I have talked about this, I think that the Democrats are better at the ground game and getting out the vote.
Let me ask you a binary question. Is Kamala Harris going to win or is Donald Trump going to win? Now, don't tell me you don't know because we know you don't know. We're asking for your opinion.
I would say based on ground game and the get out the vote efforts that the Democratic Party will be more successful in
Do you think Kamala Harris will become president or Donald Trump? Can you answer that, or are we on another TV deal?
I think
deal?
We better come back with the people in a week when we have.
You don't know. You don't
when we have
why
5 days
Why don't you have an opinion?
Left.
Don't you have an opinion?
Not yet. It's still
okay,
too
well,
close.
I have an opinion. Kamala Harris wins. I don't think by a landslide, but she'll win by enough. There'll be a lot of arguments after it's over, but that's the answer. So nobody knows for sure, Dan. Nobody's asking for your absolute 100% opinion, but you have an opinion. You just won't say it.
Well, if based on numbers and
based
and
on anything, don't
on
condition
ground
it.
Game, Harris wins.
Don't condition it.
Harris wins based
Harris
on.
Harris wins. So we agree, then fundamentally, when we get all the other crap out of the way, that Kamala Harris will be the next president.
Agreed.
That's our opinion.
Yeah.
We might change it in a week from now.
And they should stay tuned and come back.
Exactly. But right now, I hate to tell you, my Republican buddies, but there are just too many Democrats. I played golf with one yesterday, and this is my last 30 seconds. Will be over. I'm playing golf, Tony, from Los Angeles. What do you think? He's a Democrat. He got offended when I asked him what his politics was. But finally, I started talking to him. I said, why are you a Democrat? He said, well, my father's a Democrat. My grandfather's a Democrat. We're a Democratic family. And that was it. So I never asked any more questions. Played golf. Okay, guys, we're signing off. Touch base. We're going to do a little more podcast. Yes, it's pretty good. We got another friend of ours, a good friend of Dan. I think Dan will probably invite him in. Maybe we'll find another Democrat we can invite in too, or somebody that kind of like believes kind of like the Democratic things. I still find out that when you really get down to it, everybody agrees on pretty much everything. Really come down to what we really want to do. When we realize what we can do, there is a lot of agreement. All right? So, see you guys. See you later, guys. Okay. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Okay, that was pretty good.
Let's see the red one.